Praise the Lord. Thank you again for tuning in to In the Light. We're continuing in our study on forgiveness, a hidden power source. We've been studying on forgiveness, a hidden power source, and I'm excited to continue in this teaching. And I pray that what you've received so far has really taken your level of faith in walking in forgiveness to another level, and that you're able now to begin to exercise the power of forgiveness in your life and experience the liberty that comes from it. We're going to actually pick up with the scripture that we left off with when we were together last, and that was in Mark 11. I just want to go back over that scripture, and we were talking at that time about what Jesus has defined for us as the way of dealing with offenses. How do we deal with the offenses that come towards us in life? How do we overcome the hurts? And Mark 11, specifically beginning with verses 25 and 26, gave us some clear insight into what the Lord is requiring of us, because we have to go beyond how we feel about it, what we think about it, and we have to found our actions and our beliefs on the Word of God and let that be the final authority for our lives. So in Mark 11, I'm going to pick back up, and I'm reading again from the Amplified Translation. And here the Lord is speaking, and he says, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop." That means to leave it and to let it go, "in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop." Verse 26 says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings." So again, we understand that the Lord is requiring of us to forgive. It doesn't matter what it is. He didn't make any qualifiers. He didn't say if it was a big offense, if it was a, you know, a major something that, you know, you didn't have to forgive. He says whatever it is, he didn't qualify it. He says if you have anything against anyone. So it doesn't matter if it's your neighbor next door, if it's the grocery store clerk, if it's the garbage man, if it's the post office delivery person, if it's your coworker at work, if it's your spouse, your child, whomever, if you have anything against anyone, the charge and the commandment from the Lord himself is to forgive that person and to let whatever the offense is go. So that's how we are to deal with offenses. We are to forgive and to let it go. And I love even the notion of forgetting, because the Bible teaches us that that's how God deals with our sins. And so the ultimate level of freedom is that you can go on to even forget, not necessarily from a natural standpoint, but the sting and the pain associated with that offense can ultimately be erased from your memory. So if that thought happens to come up, if the enemy tries to bring that back before your conscience after you've walked in faith to forgive, then over time, I know the power of God is available to dissolve the sting that comes with that memory and ultimately to dissolve the memory itself. And that's empowering to know that we have the power within us, because God is never going to require of us something that he's not equipped us to do. So we actually, as born again believers, have within ourselves the power to forgive, the power to let things go, things that the world cannot get free from, things that the world would never be able to walk away from and let go because they don't have the greater one living in them. We have been empowered to rise above the offenses, to rise above the insults, the hurts, the tragedies, the things that would come at us in life, and to go free. Glory be to God, because not only are we releasing the person who's offended and hurt us, but we are also freeing ourselves. And in return, our Father in heaven is able to pour out his grace and his mercy on our lives, to heal us, to restore us, and to forgive us our trespasses. Glory be to God. So I want to shift gears a little bit now and begin to look at and to talk about learning to forgive. But actually, there is one additional scripture I want to share with you before we take that turn, from Luke 6, verse 37. Just regarding dealing with offenses. And this is just to strengthen you again, so that when those temptations come, when the hurt comes, when the offense comes, you're already equipped, you're already built up inside, and you know exactly what to do so the devil doesn't have any ground in your life. And in Luke chapter 6, I want to read verse 37. And again, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Translation. And here the Lord says, "Judge not, neither pronouncing judgment nor subjecting to censure, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned and pronounced guilty. Acquit and forgive and release," which means to give up resentment, to let it drop, "and you will be acquitted and forgiven and released." So again, we're getting the same instruction. And here the Lord, he further expounds on it. He says, you're going to forgive that person. You're going to acquit them. You know, when a person stands trial, you know, there are two things that can happen. They can be convicted or they can be acquitted. And God is saying, I haven't called you to convict. I haven't called you to be the judge and the jury. That's why he starts off by saying, judge not. Because the things that you do, you're putting yourself in a position that you do to others to be done back to you. So for if no other purpose, you don't want to do it because you don't want to reap that judgment in your own life. But God says, instead of convicting that person, instead of holding that sin and that offense against them, I am calling you to acquit them. I'm calling you to let them go free. Because what happens when you're acquitted? When the jury comes back and they hand that verdict over to the judge and he reads it before the court? What happens to that person when they're acquitted of those crimes that they've been charged with? They go free, hallelujah. And that's what we're doing to others when we acquit them, when we release them, when we drop, we let it drop. Whatever it is, whatever it was, whatever they said, whatever they did, we let it drop. And we go free, glory be to God, and they go free. And so he says here, then I want you to give it up. I want you to let it drop and you will be acquitted and forgiven and released. And so in return, you can have confidence that in your day of wrongdoing, in your day of shortcomings, when you've missed the mark and perhaps you've been the offender rather than the offended, that God in return will be able to release the same power of forgiveness towards you in your life. And so that is the standard that we are to hold ourselves to, that the Word of God calls us to as we deal with offenses, as we deal with the hurts and we overcome them. We're not just dealing with them on a surface level. This is just not a Band-Aid solution. This is getting down to the root issue of dealing with that and disempowering that hole that the enemy would try to put on us to lock us into bondage so that we're constantly tied to the thing that that person has done to us. Forgiveness lets it all go. It keeps us free. It lets that person be free to walk in the grace of God and to receive whatever it is they need in their life. And in return, we're not held bondage to that hurt going forward. So I'm excited about that. I think that is good news. Glory be to God. And so now I want us to begin to look more in depthly at learning to forgive. You know, exactly how I understand you may be saying, I understand that God has called me to forgive, that that is, you know, a commandment from the scriptures that we've seen to date in our study. And that is the model that Jesus laid out before us. And that, in fact, that's the way God is towards me. So how do I really do it? And I think the Word of God gives us some keys and some insights into how it's done. And the first thing that we must understand as we learn to forgive is that forgiveness is done by faith. We forgive by faith as an act of our will and as an act of obedience. And obedience is nothing more than an act of the will. When you choose to obey God, you've done just that. You've chosen to obey him. And when you don't obey, you've chosen not to obey. There isn't something that comes over you and overshadows you and says, oh, now you're going to go and commit this wrongdoing, or now you're going to sin against God. No, you make a choice. God has made us free moral agents. And in return, when we choose to obey God, when we choose to accept the gospel, when we choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we choose to follow after the word and what the word of God has to say to us, then those are acts of obedience. Those are acts of our will. And it's also an act of faith. And that is what we do when we forgive. We forgive by faith. In fact, the Bible says as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we walk by faith and not by sight. So this is how we're to take everything on that we embrace in our Christian walk. It's by faith, not by sight. In other words, it's not by our five physical senses. It's not by what we can see with our natural eyes, what we hear with our natural ears, what we feel, what our emotions are telling us, but it's by faith or by the Word of God. What has the Word of God told us? So that means when I'm in a position where I've been offended, the first thing that has to rise up in me is faith or the Word of God on that thing. And when I let faith rise up, then what's rising up is the commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ that has said to me that I am to forgive and I'm to let it drop. So that's the first thing. And your feelings may be nowhere near that stage. When you step out initially in obedience to God's word to say, I forgive as an act of my will, I choose today to walk in forgiveness and to forgive anyone of anything, you've just set your will to forgive. And your emotions may be way behind you. But guess what? Eventually they'll catch up. because your spirit man is in charge and your flesh will eventually line up. But your spirit man has to set the pace. It has to lead the way in the righteousness of God. And so you learn to forgive, and you forgive by faith. Glory be to God. And I want to take us over to 1 John 1:9 just to look at that kind of in the reverse, because it works on both sides of the equation. You know, when we're talking about forgiveness in this study, we're primarily focusing on our forgiveness of others that have wronged us and things that happened to us in our lives and God's requirement of what he wants from us as we encounter these things and realizing the power that's there in forgiveness. That's why I'm calling this series Forgiveness, the Hidden Power Source, because there is so much power in forgiveness. And God knew that so much that he chose to forgive us in order to restore us to him through Jesus Christ. And so in 1 John, let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This is a very familiar scripture. It's one that God has given to us so that when we sin against him, we have a free access and we have open access to come before him and to get forgiveness of our sins. And don't you know, if we want God to forgive us, how much more should we be willing to forgive others? But this has to be done by faith as well. So we're going to look at that a little bit in depthly while I read this to you here in 1 John 1 verse 9. And I'm getting there. I thought I was there, but I'm not. But I am now. Praise the Lord. So 1 John 1 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see a direct promise from God's word that if we confess our sins, we come to God, we acknowledge our sins, we confess that sin, God has promised to us that he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when we go before him and we do that, I know for me and myself personally that when I have to confess my sin before God, I don't always feel like I'm forgiven at that very moment. Although the word of God has strictly promised me that when I confess my sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So at that very moment, once I've obeyed what the scripture requires of me, which is to confess my sin, I have to, by faith, based on the word of God, so we're still talking about walking it out by faith, receive that forgiveness that God has granted to me, to receive the cleansing that he's promised to me. And I can't allow how bad I feel about what I did, you know, what other people think about what I did. I can't allow any of that to determine whether or not I receive what God has said to me. I have to just walk it out by faith. And it's the same way when it comes to us walking in forgiveness towards others. We have to step out by faith, whether our feelings are there or not, whether the emotions are there or not, whether we feel good about it or not. And we have to say, I'm just going to do this because it's what God requires of me. It's a commandment. It's going to do me good. It's going to be for my benefit and for the other person's benefit too. And that probably is one of the reasons why we're not so excited about it, because we really aren't concerned about that other person being benefited at that point. But nonetheless, it's the way of God. Bless the Lord. And so when we begin to walk in forgiveness, we have to understand that we're walking it out by faith. It's not based on feelings, but it's an act of faith. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and let's look a little bit more in depthly at this concept, looking at Jesus, glory to God, as our example, because, you know, Jesus, he went through a lot, and we're going to study a little bit more about examples of forgiveness in action at a later time. But before we get there, and before I look more specifically at Jesus's example, when he forgave his persecutors and ultimately those who put him to death, Hebrews 12 gives us some insight into how he was able to do it. And I'm sure we can all agree that it wasn't because he felt like it. I don't believe he woke up that day feeling like being nailed to a cross, feeling like being tormented and taking on the sins of all the world. But he did it anyway. And Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1, says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So the Bible is telling us giving us some insight into how Jesus was able to do what he did. It says, look at Jesus, who was the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How was he able to do what he did? Because he was walking it out by faith. The Bible says the joy that was set before him, which means he was looking beyond his current circumstances. There was no joy in and of itself of him being nailed to a cross and crucified. There was no joy in that. That was total agony. But he was walking it out by faith, believing that God would raise him from the dead, believing that when he went to the pit of hell, he would overcome and triumph over our ultimate enemy, the devil, believing that he would then have a harvest to bring back to the Father of children born again, men and women, boys and girls throughout eternity. And so he set his focus on the joy, on the promise through the eye of faith. And that's what we have to do. When it comes to us being strengthened and walking in forgiveness, we have to look beyond the current situation, because usually that's dim and bleak. And we have to set our sights higher. We have to set our sights on what's going to come as a result of our obedience to God, the rewards that we're positioning ourselves for, the freedom that we're going to operate in, the liberty that's going to come to us, the peace that we're going to be able to enjoy because we've let go of the bitterness and the resentment and the hatred. And also the restoration that can come between you and the offender. So there's so much more that we should be focusing on. And faith lifts us up to that level. Faith lifts us above our natural circumstances and just what is, what we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel, what we can sense with our five natural senses. And it takes us into the realm of the spirit, where all things are possible. Glory be to God. And so when we walk by faith, we open ourselves to all the goodness that God would have for us, because we've obeyed him. We've done what he's required us to do. And he'll minister to our hearts. He'll comfort us. If it's a thing that's caused deep pain in our lives, God is there. He is the comforter. The Bible says he is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. And so all that is available to us because we've chosen to take the high road. We've chosen to walk it out by faith. And I think that's a key distinction, because so many people, they step out in forgiveness and they commit to forgive because they know it is a commandment. They know it's a requirement. But then they get confused and the enemy comes in and tries to trip them up because their feelings haven't gotten there yet. Your feelings will develop over time. You set your will in prayer. Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, you let it go. So you're there in your prayer time. You're praying, you're believing God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminds you of something that you have against someone and something that somebody did to you that you haven't let go, that you're still harboring. In that moment, you walk in forgiveness and you say, Lord, I forgive so-and-so. I release them. Father, I'm asking you to bless them. I'm asking you to help them, and I don't hold it against them. And so you've set your will. You've operated in obedience to that commandment. And the next day you run into so-and-so in the grocery store or in church or wherever you may be or on the job. And all of a sudden this funny feeling comes up inside of you. And so the devil whispers to you and says, you didn't forgive them, because if you forgave them, you wouldn't be feeling like that. But that's a lie. That's a symptom of unforgiveness. But that doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. No, you've already forgiven. And as you stand fast in that faith and in the obedience to the word of God, those symptoms will leave. It's the same way with healing or anything else we're receiving by faith from the Lord. We receive our healing by faith based on a scripture that promises us that we can be healed. And you know what? The sniffles may not leave right away. The headache may not depart right away. But we know as we stand fast therein in that word that those symptoms have to bow the knee and they will go. And it's the same way with unforgiveness. Those are just symptoms. The same way when we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the symptoms of guilt, the symptoms of condemnation. When we go to God, we ask him to forgive us. And the Bible says he's faithful and just to do it. But yet you still feel unworthy. Yet you still feel like you can't raise your hands and praise him. Yet you still feel like you shouldn't ask him to do what you need him to do in your life, or what you want him to do in your life, because of this mistake you've made or the sin you've engaged in. Those are just symptoms of guilt and condemnation. And those symptoms will go as you resist them and as you stand fast in the word. So just know that when you make that quality decision, that all of heaven is backing you, restoration is going to be made available to you, and you have done what God has required of you. And there's the next thing that will help us in this as we learn to forgive, and that's love. Love is key. We've looked at that already in our study, but I want to look at it a little bit more in-depthly now, and I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13 because I want us to know exactly what the love of God looks like. I'm not talking about the human love that says, if you love me, I'll love you. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. No, we're not talking about that. We're putting that aside. God has called us to walk in the highest kind of love, which is the agape love of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, particularly verses 4 through 8, we get a great expository on exactly what that love looks like. So here in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm just going to take us through the key elements. And as we've talked about before, love and forgiveness go hand in hand, so this will be nothing new. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation because it really brings it clear and brings it home. So starting in verse 4 in the Amplified Translation of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, and it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. So there we have a clear snapshot of what we can guide ourselves by to determine whether or not we're walking in love. And love is key when we're talking about forgiveness. We have to be willing, for instance, as the Word of God says, to be patient and to be kind. We have to be willing not to take account of the evil that's done to us. So we're not going to take a list and keep a log of all the times a person has done us wrong and hold that against them. No, love doesn't do it. Love lets it go. Love isn't touchy or fretful or resentful. And, you know, that's a good one, especially for married couples, because your spouse will do something and, you know, they'll come to you and they notice you, maybe you're being unusually quiet, and they'll say, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Oh, nothing. And you're being touchy. You're being fretful or resentful. Well, those are things that we have to walk away from, and we have to begin to embrace the love of God, which says, I'm not going to hold this against you. I'm going to treat you just the way the Father treats me when I ask for forgiveness. He doesn't hold it against me. He doesn't say, well, I would answer your prayer today, but considering that you did X, Y, Z, I don't think I'm going to do that. No, God doesn't do us that way, and that's not how we're called to interact with one another. We're called to forgive freely and totally, unhindered, with no strings attached. And so the love of God, as we see here, is love that bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's love that believes the best of every person. Yeah, so the person, they messed up. Yeah, so they did something they shouldn't have done. But are you going to be willing to believe the best about them anyway? To believe in them despite their shortcomings, despite their weaknesses? And the Bible promises, and this is the best part about it all, that love never fails. Love never fails. You're not going to fail when you choose the God way, when you choose the love way. Because God himself is love, and so he's backing you. Glory be to God. But love is key as we walk in forgiveness, as we learn to forgive the way God has called us to forgive and to take that high road. We're going to be doing it by faith, based on the Word of God, and we're going to walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to begin to meditate, in particular, on 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And if you have access to an Amplified Translation, and all the Christian bookstores now sell this version of the Bible, I encourage you to purchase it and really begin to study out the love of God, because it gives clear instruction on love, so you can actually measure yourself and you can know if you're in love or not. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. The Holy Spirit obviously will convict your heart, but you can give yourself key behavioral guidelines to say, if I'm doing this, this, and this, then yes, I'm walking in the love of God. I'm fulfilling the law. I'm fulfilling the commandment that the Lord Jesus has given me. Glory to God. And so the third area that I want to look at in learning to forgive, before I do that, I want to read another scripture to you on love out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, getting a little ahead of myself. And this is a great scripture. And I'm going to actually read from the Message translation of the Bible. And I'm going to be reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. And it says here, and the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's teaching them. There's been some trouble there at the church. There's been someone who's done something that they shouldn't have done that's caused a lot of trouble. It's caused a lot of pain there in the church. And the Apostle Paul is now addressing this and bringing some instruction and some guidance to the church there as to what they're to do about it. He says, "Now regarding the one who started all this, the person in question who caused all this pain, I want you to know that I am not the one injured in this as much as, with a few exceptions, all of you. So I don't want to come down too hard. What the majority of you agreed to is punishment enough." Now, this is where I want you to really focus and listen. "Now is the time to forgive this man and help him back on his feet. If all you do is pour on the guilt, you could very well drown him in it. My counsel now is to pour on the love." Glory be to God. So the Apostle Paul here knew that there were some serious hurts. There was some serious pain that had taken place because of this incident. He says, but you know, enough is enough. Now is the time. And that's what I want you to hear. Now is the time to forgive. Glory be to God. Not tomorrow. What are you going to really gain by stewing over that thing one more day? Are you going to gain any peace? Are you going to gain any resolution? Are you going to gain any favor with God? No, you're not. So just let it go. It may feel good to the flesh to hold on to it because you feel like you have an upper hand, but really you don't, because you're outside of the grace and the will of God. But now is the time to forgive. He says, and help him back on his feet. If all you do is pour on the guilt, you could very well drown him in it. My counsel now is to pour on the love. Hallelujah. When you forgive, you're pouring on the love. You're taking away the right in and of yourself to hold something against someone, and you're replacing it with the love of God that never fails. You're pouring on the love. So just imagine that. You have two buckets in your hands, and one bucket is the judgment and the wrath of you, which you have a right to. And in the other is love. Which will you allow to flow? Imagine yourself being strengthened by the Holy Spirit and yielding to the Holy Spirit. See yourself with those two buckets in your hand and with Jesus standing before you, waiting for you to make a decision. And you, in obedience to his word and by faith, determined to tip over that bucket with love. And you pour on the love. And you pour on the love. And you let healing flow, and you let mercy flow, and you let forgiveness and restoration and compassion flow. Glory be to God. And you let God flow, because God is love. Hallelujah. So I wanted to share that with you. And then again, as I was just about to go into the other area I want to look at in talking about learning to forgive, is intercession. This is a key area of our deliverance when we look at getting free from hurt and offense and really releasing a person that's hurt us. And I want to turn to Luke chapter 6 now and look at what the scripture has to say about it. You know, some people would never consider praying for the person that's hurt them, praying for their enemy, praying for that person that's just wounded them so badly or that's just come against them in some just ungodly way. But in fact, that's what the word of God requires, because God knows that as we do that, our hearts are connected to our mouths. And as we speak forth those words, even again, if your feelings aren't there yet, when you just do it because the word of God says it, over time, the power of God rises up in you, and a genuine love of God will begin to grow in your heart for that individual that has hurt you, that has wronged you. You'll be able to see them. God will grant you the ability so many times to see that person from his vantage point and how he sees them. Hallelujah. So in Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading again from the Amplified Translation, beginning in verse 27, the Lord here gives us some clear instruction as it relates to this element of forgiveness and intercession. And when I say intercession, I'm literally referring to praying for another, praying for someone else, lifting someone else up before God in prayer. And so Luke 6, and looking in verse 27, it says, "But I say to you who are listening to me now, in order to heed, make it a practice to love your enemies and treat well, do good to, act nobly toward those who detest you and pursue you with hatred. Invoke blessings upon and pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Implore God's blessing and favor upon those who abuse you, who revile, reproach, disparage, and high-handedly misuse you. And to the one who strikes you on the jaw or cheek, offer the other jaw or cheek also. And as you would like and desire that men would do to you," this is verse 31, "do exactly so to them." So God makes it very clear here that we are to pray for our enemies. We're to love them. And love is a part of loving them as we're walking out that process of forgiveness is going to be to pray for them. And he tells us what to pray. He even goes so far as to give us our prayer outline, because many of us would like to just go and say, "Lord, I pray for so-and-so in Jesus' name. Amen." But no, God wants more. He actually has said to us that you're going to love your enemies. You're going to treat them well. You're going to do good to them. And you're going to act nobly toward them. And that's talking about people who detest you and actually pursue you with hatred. That's like the person praying for the bigot that literally detests the sight of them. And Jesus says, when you do this, I want you to invoke blessings upon them. And what does that mean? What does it mean to bless someone? It means to speak good about them, to say good things about them rather than cursing them, which is to say bad things about them. So he says, I want you to invoke blessings upon them, and I want you to pray for their happiness. Wow. Now that takes faith. God says, I want you to pray for their happiness. And I know, because if you've ever been there at that moment, the last thing in your flesh that you really want is for that person to be happy or blessed. Actually, your mind is saying, what about them? Hey, what about what they did to me? But God is saying, don't concern yourself with that. The scripture teaches us that vengeance is his and he will repay. So we can go free from trying to mete out the punishment that we believe that person deserves, and we let it all go. We leave it all in the hands of God. We trust God. We walk by faith. And God says, as you do that, I'm expecting for you to invoke blessings upon them and to pray for the happiness of them, to implore my blessing and my favor upon them, and to do to them as you would have them do to you. Now, that's a tall order in and of itself, particularly if you're looking at it in the natural. But remember that the grace of God is with you to strengthen you and to empower you to obey and to do what God has called you to do, because it's for your good. See, remember we've talked about before, 1 John 5:3 says the commandments of God are not grievous. You're not going to lose out when you obey God. You're not going to come behind. You're not going to be the one coming up on the short end of the stick. You're going to be the one walking in liberty and freedom, no matter what that other person decides that he or she will or won't do. All God is concerned about is our response. He wants us to have the right response so we can stay on the right side of things, so we can stay in his grace and his favor. And so really, what helps me is not to even think about what's going to ultimately happen to that other person. You just have to trust God. He is a God of judgment. He is a God of justice. And he knows how to make things right in your life. If you've been wronged, if you've been stolen from, if you've been betrayed, if you've been robbed, whatever it is, lied on, God knows how to make it right. Trust him. He loves you. He's for you. Glory be to God. So who can be against you? But we have to obey. We have to do what the scripture says. And that is going to produce freedom. See, in forgiveness, as you begin to pray for that person, as I just said a little bit ago, something begins to happen in your heart. And your heart begins to open up. As you do it more and more, it becomes more tender and more sensitive. God may begin to reveal to you some things about that person that has caused them to be the way they are, things that will cause you to have compassion for them because you now understand why they've done what they've done, that it wasn't really about you, but it was more about the things that are going on in them, because maybe you've heard this saying before, but hurt people, hurting people hurt people. And so you can rise up and forgive them. Or maybe they just weren't thinking at the time. Maybe they said something that hurt you or offended you or insulted you. But, you know, they really didn't mean it. And God can show you that in that place of prayer. So I want to give you a charge today as we look at this and as we prepare to close this session of our teaching. I want you to do this. And I just want you to begin to declare this when you wake up in the morning. And this is to commit to having a forgiving spirit. And so when you wake up in the morning, determine to say, I will greet this day with a forgiving spirit. I will forgive even those who do not ask for forgiveness. I will forgive those who criticize me unjustly. I will forgive myself. And you will experience the power and the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ on your life.